Let me read for us once more Psalm 51 and verse 8. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. You know, it's one thing to be forgiven. I think we all understand that we need to come to the Lord, confess our sins to Him, and look for a clearing of the soul. But, you know, to hear joy and gladness, as this verse says, once again, that's quite another thing. We are totally restored and totally healed when we come before the Lord. I know that this is a hard concept. I mean, it's hard for me. Maybe it's my background. It's very easy for me to feel guilty about things. We don't have to pause, though, or wonder when we come before the Lord asking Him to clear our account whether or not He's going to do it. He said that He would do it. And not only that, it's not, okay, this person really has some zeal. They must be really clean. But I don't have as much zeal. Therefore, I'm not as clean. All right, well, what is that? That's human-centered garbage, really. We just come to God, and we come on the basis of the blood of Christ. We don't come on the basis of our zeal, right? I mean, we understood that at salvation, right? We should understand that in our day-to-day life with the Lord. We come to God on the basis of what Jesus has done for us. We don't deserve it. I mean, that's the great thing of being clean. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve the joy and the gladness that He promises here in the text. But He has promised to give it to us nonetheless. He will restore those things for us. God gives us these things because God loves His Son, the Lord Jesus. And we come to Him in His name. Now, why is this verse here so significant? Well, I think that there's two reasons. Number one, it demonstrates to us the destructive nature of sin. And number two, it demonstrates to us the delightful nature of grace. Those are the two reasons why verse 8 is so important here in Psalm 51. First, let's look at this demonstration of the nature of sin in this verse. Sin has really destructive power in our lives. I know that it says that in this text, you have the bones you have broken that I may rejoice. Now, obviously, David was not saying that God reached down and just started snapping bones, right? It's a literary device, and I wish my friends who accuse me of being wooden in my literalism would listen to this sermon. Okay, then they would understand that I'm not. I understand that there are literary devices in Scripture, and this is one of them. I understand that. I look at a broken bone, though, and that's quite something. I've had all of the toes broken on one foot at one time. I dropped something very heavy when I was roofing on my foot. And I remember at the time I was going to DVC for classes, and I had these narrow dress shoes that I wore. What kind of foolishness is that? And I was, you know, just limping along on the campus because it was very, very painful. It was painful for a long time because of all the broken toes. My wife had a broken leg. She told me about it, and it doesn't sound too fun to go through broken bone of any kind. But as painful and as anguishing, you know, as filled with anguish as a broken bone is, and it can be for a long time, that's nothing compared to what happens to us spiritually because of sin. A broken bone, yes, maybe I know that there's going to be an end to it. They set the bone, they put it in a cast, it heals. But a broken spirit, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, writes, who can bear it? In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. We can look at sin's destructive nature, and we can look at it in the lives of two groups of people. There are really only two groups of people on the planet, right? We can look at the destructive nature of sin for people that are condemned already, and we can look at the destructive nature of sin in people that are justified. What about people who are condemned already? Well, these are unsaved people. What is sin like for them? Well, we know from the Scripture But let me just share with you a little bit of my testimony, because I got saved as an adult. I can still remember the agonizing nature of living with guilt and with sin that nothing has been done for it. I can remember that. And I can remember just a real active conscience. I can remember, you know, and who made it active? It was God, right? He gave me the gift of this conscience, but for an unsaved person, it we're excusing ourselves with it, right? Or we're falsely accusing ourselves with it. And I had a hypersensitive conscience. Some of the things that I was really, really concerned about, I look back now and I say, well, those weren't even sins. And yet I struggle with those things, right? And then I look back and I see that I sinned every day, but as I was going through the day, I really didn't think about it. I wasn't concerned about my sin. It wasn't until later, during periods of time when I was isolated or alone, that my conscience began to torment me and the guilt really began to weigh heavily upon me. I knew I deserved God's judgment. It was dawning on me. God was drawing me to Himself, and I was struggling with all of that. And many times I was filled with remorse. I was filled with discouragement. I went to the Catholic Church to try to find relief somehow in the Catholic Church that I grew up in. And Sue can testify to this. I spent a lot of money on books that talked about Far East religions and took classes that dealt with myth and dream and Joseph Campbell and all of these things that secular people do in order to have some kind of semblance of spirituality. So I was searching, and sin was gnawing away at me, and there didn't seem to be any kind of hope there. But then the Holy Spirit really began to convince me of how destructive it was. Because it's the Holy Spirit that convinces us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And so I really was struck hard with the force of God's indignation and the consuming holiness of God and hell. And the fear of hell is what God used to turn me. Now, for the condemned sinner, that's the way it is. But then at the point of salvation, when you are justified, your sin debt is gone, right? That happened for me back in July 17th, 1990. My sin debt, gone. And I knew that. I felt the relief, the burden being lifted from me. And I was justified before God, but it wasn't long that I kind of figured out, you know, the vestiges of my old nature are still weighing down on me at times. What's going on here? I thought my sins, past, present, and future, were gone, and they are. But my fellowship with God was interrupted when I sinned against Him. And when that happened, I started having those feelings come back again, right? Well, that's what this passage is talking about. And if we as Christians can live like this for a great length of time, knowing that we betrayed our Lord, even as Peter betrayed the Lord Jesus, right? Remember Peter when he looked across the courtyard and his eyes met the Lord Jesus, bloodied and beaten for Him? And the cock crows and all of this is happening, and he understands that he has denied the Lord. And in that moment, when his eyes lock, the Bible tells us that he runs out and he weeps bitterly. And what does Peter long for? Well, he longs for restoration. But there's a long period of time before the Lord comes to him in John chapter 21 and starts to deal with him and starts to move him toward this position where he is restored again. So I look at that and I see in my own betrayals. Some of them are great, like Peter's. Some of them are small as I go through my day. But they're there. All of us do this. We betray the Lord Jesus. And when we do that, do we not feel the pangs of sin? Do we not feel the brokenness that David is talking about here? I believe we do. We know that our bones are growing old, even as David says in another place in Psalm 32. And the hand of God is heavy upon us. And we struggle a great deal because of that. Our vitality is turned to drought, the drought of summer, it says in Psalm 32 and verse 4. Psalm 38 verse 1 says, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure, for your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head, like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Psalm 38, verses 1 through 8. That's how I feel when sin has the upper hand in my life. I think that's all how all of us should feel. It should drive us into deep misery until we get a clearing of the account, until we come to God and ask for forgiveness, broken and contrite before Him. Psalm 88:3 says, "For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave." Verse 6 says, "You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves." Even justified sinners can come face to face with the sin in their lives and realize that it's a present and terrible evil. It is something that is driving a wedge between us. And so we need to have it cleared. And even though Psalm 51:8 demonstrates the destructive nature of sin and shows us how we need this clearing, then we immediately realize, and all of this happens in an instant, right? We immediately realize that it also demonstrates the delightful nature of God's grace and how we can avail ourselves of that grace whenever we want to. As His children, we come to Him asking for forgiveness because of His mercy. David's bones were broken, it says in the text. Why were his bones broken? Well, what was his sin? The heading tells us, right? His sin was evil sin, where he committed adultery with another man's wife. Let's not forget this. And then he murdered woman's husband in order to cover up the adultery. And he lived with this for a length of time. And so, could there be forgiveness for David? And the answer is yes. The Bible's very clear about that. That's why we have Psalm 51. There was forgiveness for him. So would he ever hear joy and gladness again? The answer is yes. So if David experienced forgiveness, then we who are in Christ will experience forgiveness too, and a clearing of the account, and we'll be able to stand before God because of the blood of Christ and realize that He has the power to save over all sin that we commit. Not just some sin, but all sin. And we can stand before Him clean again. Now this comfort came to me when I came to Christ. Jesus became the propitiation for the sins of the whole world, including my sins. His blood cleanses from all sin, the Scripture teaches. And so I could believe that. Even as a believer, I'm a part of the bride of Christ. What does Ephesians tell us about the bride of Christ? We will be presented, it says in that text, without spot and without wrinkle or any such thing. We'll be presented clean and spotless before the Father. So there's always hope for all people. Remember our meditation from last week. "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." So every terror I felt that I talked about before my conversion has turned to peace and joy after my conversion. And when I'm in my right mind and I recognize that I have this ability to come boldly before the throne of God's grace and ask for cleansing and to have restored fellowship with Him, then I can see the mourning in my life and the sorrow in my life turn to dancing, as the Bible says. "He has put off sackcloth and clothed us with gladness." Psalm 30 and verse 11. There is a balm in Gilead that heals the sin-sick soul, right? And so we can depend upon what God has done for us. We have a peace that the world cannot offer us, a peace that passes all understanding. And we can rely upon that stability that God has granted to us. In the presence of God, there is fullness and joy forevermore. We can rest in that. We know that that is true. God dwells with those who are of a contrite and humble spirit, as we see here in the psalm, but this is in Isaiah 57:15 as well. He will revive, it says in that text, the spirit of the humble. He will revive the heart of the contrite ones, Isaiah 57:15. God will not always contend with us. The Bible tells us that he will not always be angry in verse 16 of the same passage. For the spirit of man, our inner man, would fail before him if that were true. And the souls which he has made. The souls are parallel with the spirit of man in that verse. So we can trust in the fact that God is going to deliver us. He will not cast us away. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But not only that, right? Present before the Lord, not answering for one sin. Not one. All under the blood of Christ. And so we must do everything we can to show ourselves and to show people how foolish it is to take sin lightly. We need to show people how destructive sin is. But we also need to help them see that there is a clearing in the grace of God. And that you can live on in delight again, knowing confidently that when you pray, God answers your prayer. You don't have to do anything to work yourself back into his good graces. You come and ask for forgiveness and he freely grants it to you. And then you're right back where you need to be when you pray. So those of us who think we stand tonight, we better take heed lest we fall. For those of us that are here tonight that know we've got a problem with the tongue, remember, it starts a forest fire. It's raging. For those of us that struggle with immorality, for impure thoughts, anger, for those of us that are here and we know that we have sinned today in a grievous way, let this be our hope that there is the grace of God there available for his children. And he will clear our account away. And you know what? You don't even have to tell me about it. Unless you sinned against me. You don't have to tell me about it. I'm not your priest. Amen. You can come before God and you can deal with this stuff in your heart and pray and know that God will hear you. And how much better that will be for all of us when God hears us. Hosea 6:1 says, "Let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up." Psalm 51:8, "Make us to hear gladness and joy," or joy and gladness, "that the bones you have broken may rejoice." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here today.